We're going to look at the passage that we read from Mark chapter 6 this morning, where crowds flock to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say a word or two about the setting and the characteristics of Mark chapter 6 and the closing verses there before we begin to unpack what Mark is saying to us. The setting is that two great miracles have just occurred. The great miracle of the Lord Jesus feeding thousands with just five loaves and two fish. That miracle has just happened. And then we read the disciples come through that remarkable experience of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee, coming to them, walking on the sea in the midst of a raging storm. Shortly afterwards, we have this account then of crowds coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in Gennesaret. It seems to me that Mark is deliberately picking up a picture here of Jesus Christ, the one who is greater than Moses. As Moses led the people in the Old Testament and God fed the people with manna from heaven, Moses leading them through the Red Sea as they crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground, the Lord opening up the sea for them, that Mark is here saying to us, here is one even greater than Moses. Moses who looked to God to provide manna from heaven, Jesus who himself feeds the people. Moses who looked to God to open up the Red Sea for the people that they may escape from Egypt, here Jesus himself walking on the sea. The characteristic that Mark brings to us here is crowds flocking to Jesus Christ, this one who is even greater than great Moses. And the distinguishing characteristic of the passage is this vivid detail where Mark thrusts us, in, as it were, into a frenzy of activity. It was a time of holy disorder, unbounded joy, great thanksgiving. Many who were made sick, made whole by the power of Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus and the disciples cross over the Sea of Galilee to Gennesaret. Gennesaret was a well-known plain on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was a fertile area where many crops were grown, but it was also a populated area. And when Jesus anchored on the shore with his disciples, no sooner had Jesus disembarked, people immediately recognized him. This is the one who's healed all sorts of sickness and disease among people. This is the one who's cast out demons with a word. This is the one who raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. So immediately the news spread in all directions. Jesus was around. And people began to carry sick and infirm people from all over that region to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 56 in Mark chapter 6, Mark gives us a summary of the ministry of Jesus Christ in Gennesaret, a ministry that lasted several days or even longer. Mark 6 verse 56 reads, "Whenever Jesus entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well." So wherever Jesus went through that whole area of Gennesaret, people came to him carrying their sick. And graciously, Jesus made himself available to everyone who came. One sick person being carried to Jesus, people who had already been healed, running around saying, "I can walk, I've been healed, I'm whole again." People being asked, "What did you have to do to get near to him? What did you bring to him? What did you give to him?" And people saying, "All I brought to Jesus was my need. Jesus met with me freely. All who touched him were completely healed." Now, isn't that what every one of us here this morning needs to know? Once your conscience convicts you that there are things in your life which are out of step with a holy God, Once God's holy law has accused you that you've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Once you've admitted before God that you are guilty and condemned and under judgment, what you need is a Saviour who is suited to your need, who's accessible to you. Accessible, you can come to him, the best or the worst of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, says the Bible. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So the good news of Jesus' ministry in Gennesaret this morning is it demonstrates to you that Jesus is available to you, to all kinds of people, in all kinds of need. If people would but come to Jesus Christ, they will be pardoned and healed and forgiven. Mark says, as many as touched him were made well. Didn't matter the nature of their disease, the extent of their sickness, how advanced the disease was, how long the paralysis. Without exception, Jesus made them all completely whole. There was no fever that he could not calm. There was no twisted limb that he could not straighten. There was no sore that he could not heal. There was no flow of blood that he could not staunch. There was no degenerative disease that he could not cope with. As many as touched him were made well. Now again, isn't that what every one of us needs to hear? You begin to take your problem of sin seriously. God gives you a sight of the tyranny of your sin. You realize that your heart is polluted. You need a powerful Savior. As many as touched him were made whole. There's no sin he cannot cleanse, cannot pardon, cannot forgive. No tyranny of sin that he cannot sever, deliver, set you free. No heart that he cannot renew or transform, make new. So if you ask yourself this morning, are you beyond redemption? Mark is saying, no one is beyond redemption. As many as touched him were made well. Now you may say to me, well, where is Jesus Christ this morning? How can I get near him? He's not outside somewhere nearby. No, but he draws nearer than outside. He draws near by his word and by his Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, Jesus draws near. This is the sort of Saviour you need. Here's good news for you, says the word of God. People of all ages, of all backgrounds, every colour, every occupation, Jesus draws near by his word and by his Holy Spirit. So you can reach out to him. You can't see him with your physical eyes, but you can reach out to him in faith. And you will find him to be exactly what these people in Gennesaret found him to be. As many as touch him today, touch him by faith, are made well, are pardoned, healed, restored, forgiven. And the gospel here is giving us a vivid object lesson, really, of faith. What is saving faith like? What are the basic ingredients of saving faith? Mark is saying, here they are. See it in the picture of these sick people being brought to Jesus. What are the ingredients of saving faith? There is a conviction of need. Then there's a conviction in the power of Jesus to meet that need. And then there's a conviction to have personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where we're going this morning. Conviction of need, conviction of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to meet that need, and then thirdly, conviction to have personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the first, conviction of need. Those who were sick here were carried to Jesus in their need. Here were men and women and children whose need was so great, many of them they could not even walk. So they were carried to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was obvious their physical need. Now, one of the horrible truths in the realm of the spiritual is that because of the effects of sin in our lives, one of the effects is that you may be this morning blind to your need. I chose the hymn, "Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power." Because there's a verse in that hymn that's often made me think of this sense of need. We sang these words: "Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream." In other words, if your conscience is stirred this morning, or if you imagine that somehow you must put yourself right before God before you can come to him, the hymn is saying, all the fitness he requireth, all what God wants to see in your heart is to feel your need of him. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. So I'm asking you this morning, do you feel your need of a saviour? To put it plainly, if you don't feel your need of a saviour, you must ask Jesus to show you your need. Because you will never have Jesus as your saviour until you feel your need of him. Listen to how Jesus himself put it. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." "Healthy people feel no need of a doctor," said Jesus. "And I've come like a great doctor to the soul. I've come for sick people who feel their need, their spiritual need. I've come for those who feel their need for a spiritual doctor." Do you feel your need? You see, there is no saving faith in any other context but this conviction of spiritual need. Are you convinced this morning you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself? You'll never reach out in faith to Jesus Christ if you this morning are playing around with band-aids and sticking plasters on your own ideas that you think you can save yourself. The band-aid of good works. The band-aid that says all Christians are hypocrites. The plaster that says I'm as good or I'm better than others. The sticking plaster of religious rites and rituals. None of those things. Do you feel your need, spiritual need, of Jesus Christ as your Saviour? If you don't feel your need of him, then my plea to you this morning is to pray this: Lord Jesus, please show me my need. Lord Jesus, please show me my need of you. Because if you don't feel your need, you will never come to him. Lord Jesus, please show me my need. That may be the prayer you need to pray this morning. Saving faith is in the context of conviction of need. Then secondly, the conviction of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said this must have been a season of holy disorder. You try and imagine it, you picture it in your mind. People who are sick and infirm and diseased. Lots of people couldn't even walk. Loved ones whose hearts were breaking over a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a friend, a neighbour. And then news reaches them. Jesus has come to Gennesaret. Someone comes to the village and says, Jesus has come. He's on his way here. And there was this holy disorder as crowds struggled to get to Jesus. What happened when someone who had been diseased, paralyzed for years, suddenly felt a surge of life and healing power in his dead body? This must have been a jumping, praising, laughing, joyful season in Gennesaret. The people were convinced Jesus could meet the needs of their sick loved ones. So they carried them to Jesus. They picked up people who were sick in bed. They carried them to Jesus. They were absolutely convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ had the power to heal all who were brought to him. How many went away unhealed? None, says Mark. How many were healed? All of them. So there was none of the trickery of the so-called faith healers of today. As many as touched him were made well. So there's conviction of need. There was conviction of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to meet that need. And then there was this conviction to have personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as many as touched him, there was perhaps an element of superstition still in the people who said, if we can just touch the hem of his garment. But it wasn't the hem of the garment. It wasn't Jesus' garment that had the power to heal anyone. It was Jesus' power. What the people needed was direct personal contact with Jesus Christ himself. To look beyond a garment to the person who was wearing it. They needed personal dealings with Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus had the power to heal every one of them. Now that's the essence of saving faith. John 1, 12 and 13, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Or John 3, 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So faith brings you into living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In saving faith, the sinner, in all the nakedness of his or her need, embraces, relies upon, trusts this Savior, Jesus Christ, in the fullness of his grace and power, with nothing in between. No water of baptism, no wafer of the sacraments, no clergyman, no priest, no counselor. In saving faith, the sinner in the nakedness of his or her need and the Savior, Jesus Christ, in the fullness of his grace and power, they embrace, you come into personal contact with him. As many as touched him. Now, do you know anything about this faith? You may say to me this morning, oh, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. But then I want to say, has God brought you to see your real need as a sinner? If the court of heaven was set and you were summoned before Almighty God, would you be sent to outer darkness because you've never actually felt your need to really trust in Jesus Christ? Have you relied upon Jesus Christ in the fullness of his grace and power? Has God convicted you of your need? That you see yourself as a lost, condemned, guilty sinner. Now, for some people, those words are very offensive words. Lost. You may say to me this morning, I can find my own way. I don't need a savior. And that's what the biblical word lost then presses upon yourself, presses itself on your conscience. Actually, you can't find your own way. Without Jesus Christ, you're lost. Condemned. You say, who condemns me? Ah, a holy God. The holy law of God condemns you. You may compare yourself with other people and you may say, I'm better than most people. But before God, condemned, guilty. Our sin brings with it a sense of guilt. And if those words offend you, lost, condemned, guilty, then that's an indication to you, you've never actually seen your real need. You need to ask Jesus to show you your need. Because saving faith rises in this context of a felt need of a powerful Savior. And then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As the people of Gennesaret heard about Jesus Christ, they heard this one heals all sorts of disease and sickness. Jesus even raises the dead. Jesus casts out demons. And there was this conviction. What they heard, the reports, the news they were hearing, what Jesus was doing, the news was true. They didn't mock the people who were running around the marketplaces, the villages, the countryside, the towns, the cities. They didn't mock them, saying, "What in the world are you getting so excited about? This Jesus can't do a thing for the sick people. Once you're dead, you're dead. Jesus can't raise the dead. You're on a fool's errand. These stories about Jesus, they're just myths, they're just stories, fairy tales." They didn't react like that. They believed the report. Unless they believed the report, they would have never carried their sick ones to Jesus. So there was this conviction. Jesus had the power to meet their needs. You'll never become a Christian until you credit the testimony of God about his Son, which is revealed in the Bible. That Jesus is who God says he is. That Jesus can do what God says he can do. That the Lord Jesus Christ can save sinners, forgive them, cleanse them, break the tyranny of sin, clothe them with righteousness, endue them with the Holy Spirit, give them the right to be called the children of God and heirs of heaven. So saving faith involves a conviction of real spiritual need, but it also has this conviction: Jesus is the Savior who is able to meet my need. And then saving faith finds its crowning expression in this conviction to have personal dealings with Jesus Christ then. As many as touched him. As many as had personal dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. So saving faith is a real receiving of Jesus Christ, relying upon him, trusting in him. Here's the best short version of what saving faith is like. John Murray says, "Faith is whole-souled commitment to Christ." That's saving faith, says John Murray. Whole-souled commitment to Christ in the beauty of his person and the perfection of his work as he is so freely and fully offered to us in the gospel. What is saving faith? Whole-souled commitment to Jesus Christ. You don't physically touch him, but you entrust your whole soul to Jesus Christ. All that you are to Jesus Christ. So we must beware of the sentimental slush that is sometimes paraded in the name of the gospel these days. Jesus will make you happy. Jesus will make you realize what a wonderful person you are. Jesus will solve all your problems. That's not the gospel. No. You entrust yourself to Jesus Christ in all the glory and beauty of his person, true God, true man. You trust in him in the perfection of his work for a sinner. You trust in him that what he did through his perfect life, culminating in his death on the cross, that he died in your place and for your sins, and you trust in him as the Savior now risen from the dead, who's at the right hand of Almighty God. This Jesus who has sent the Holy Spirit down upon his church. He promises the gift of the Spirit to every believing soul this morning. Whole-souled commitment to Christ. That's saving faith. It's not an occasional acknowledgement. Oh yes, I believe in some sort of Jesus. Oh yes, I once prayed a sinner's prayer. Oh, I once put my hand up in a meeting. Oh, I once had some sort of emotional experience. No, that's just shallowness. That has no more to do with saving faith than the faith of demons. Saving faith is where you come in the conviction you have real spiritual need. And you come in the conviction, Jesus has the power to meet my need. And then you come in this conviction, I want to have real personal dealings with Jesus Christ for myself. Whole-souled commitment. You entrust yourself entirely to him, your whole life and heart and soul. You come as a sinner in the nakedness of your need. You embrace this glorious Saviour in the fullness of his grace and power. And that becomes the ongoing testimony of your life. Not fits and starts. Not up and then down. Not once I made a profession, but this morning I'm nowhere. What's your testimony this morning? Whole-souled commitment to Jesus Christ. In conviction of felt need, in the conviction of power of Jesus to meet that need, and the conviction you have personal dealings with Jesus to meet the need. Someone's put it like this: the distance between the fullness of Jesus' grace and power and the depths of your need is the length of your outstretched hand. Faith is like an empty, outstretched hand that reaches up to Jesus Christ. You have personal dealings with Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer this morning, if you've reached out in faith like that to Jesus Christ, then you remember that these people in Gennesaret began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard the Lord Jesus Christ was. They were powerless themselves to heal their sick loved ones, but they were not powerless to get them to Jesus. And Jesus was able to heal them. So this is a beautiful picture for us this morning. If you're a Christian, you seek to bring helpless sinners who cannot save themselves to Jesus Christ. How can you bring them to Jesus Christ? How can you do what these people in Gennesaret did? They began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was, wherever they heard Jesus was. Well, for example, you can bring them in your prayers and in your intercessions in a prayer meeting. There's this loved one. There's this friend. There's this neighbor. There's this member of the family, not a Christian, who has some pressing need. You can carry them in your prayers to Jesus. You bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, where his word is preached in the gathering of his people. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Matthew 18, verse 20. Jesus meeting with his people as they gather together to worship him. Where is Jesus most likely to be savingly revealed to men and women? As his people gather together to worship him, as he draws near by his word and by his Holy Spirit. So yes, we carry our loved ones to Jesus in our prayers. We carry our loved one to Jesus as we make every effort to bring them under the sound of the gospel. And if the Lord Jesus draws near to you this morning by his word and spirit, if you feel your need of him, if you sense he has the power to meet that need, under the authority of his word, where he draws near by his word and spirit, you reach out from your heart now in faith to touch him. If you perish, if you're lost, condemned, guilty, it's because you love your sins, you love your pride, you love your independence from God, you love the life that you now live the way it is, and you don't want Jesus messing that life up. But if you will reach out in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will know the fullness of God's grace and mercy, his love and forgiveness in the gospel. You will find him to be the same accessible, powerful Saviour that the people then knew him to be. As many as touched him were made well. And you can reach out to him in faith now, and you will be saved from death, destruction, and despair. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for this powerful, accessible Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who still saves from death, destruction, and despair. The Saviour who is available to all who will reach out to him in faith. Reach out in an empty hand of faith. Lord, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to your cross we cling. We reach out to you in faith. Help us, Lord, as we seek to bring others to you too, in our prayers, in our intercession, under the sound of the gospel. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that where two or three gather together in your name, you are there in the midst. We thank you for your word and for your Holy Spirit. And we pray now that you will come and grant us such blessing and grace. As we now draw near to you, Lord, we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number 154 is our last hymn, 154. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. And the last line, which I borrowed from the first verse of what Jesus does as Saviour: in him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death. Instead of death, Jesus gives eternal life. destruction. Instead of outer darkness, God's condemnation, lost forever, Jesus comes, grants eternal life and a sure hope of heaven to all who trust in him. And he saves from despair. We despair of saving ourselves. We despair in our sins. Jesus is the saviour we need. We trust in him. So we can make the words of this hymn the words of our heart. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. Pray together. And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, majesty, might and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen.